Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for football season.
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
On Moneyline.
Show's hot.
The show is hot.
With your hosts, Donnie Wrightside.
13-10 because you can't move the football. And all of a sudden, like, hold on. How about if we put athletes on offense and spread it out? Oh, look at that. Track meets in the SEC now.
And Kevin Walsh.
I mean, Donnie, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions is on the board for this guy. Who else is doing that? Who else is nobody? Nobody's doing that.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Ah, you're listening to a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. No better place to be than Moneyline right here. And over the next hour, I, Donnie Wrightside, and him, the Kevin Walsh, ready to get after it, have some fun, and set the table for an exciting weekend overall. That, look, I said it's a Football Friday. You got 3 games left in Major League Baseball and so many spots still left to fill in the playoff race. It's good stuff.
It absolutely is. It's a delightful time of year. We're coming off, though, of a Thursday night game that I did a little role reversal, to be honest with you. I've struggled this season, Donnie, with touchdown scorer bets.
Yes.
Had a lot of success last night. Our new boy together, Christian Watson, gets in. David Montgomery got in 3 times. That bothers me because I've clearly wasted money on Jahmyr Gibbs to win offensive of the year. And then, look, Luke Musgrave, the concussion, doesn't give me a chance on the best bet. Gibbs finished the second half with -5 receiving yards because apparently nobody that is involved with the Lions play calling or decision making, it was involved with the drafting of Jahmyr Gibbs. So that was a little bit frustrating.
It is kind of odd to watch this play out because the funny part is we know how electric that Jahmyr Gibbs can actually be as welcoming the radio audience here on a Football Friday, SiriusXM Channel 159. And this is Donnie, this is Kevin, this is Moneyline, and away we go into the afternoon. But the funny part is we know how dynamic he can be. But there's no, like, man, he should be getting more touches. David Montgomery is ruling the world in the backfield and dominating all over the place. And yes, he should not be taken out, which then leads us to believe and say, well, free agency happens before the draft, Kevin. So you got Montgomery, and you said, you know what we need? As opposed to, like, maybe a lockdown cornerback or somebody else we can put on the, I don't know, let's just say another wide receiver first-round draft pick. Let's go get a running back who apparently, Kevin, they don't need, which is always interesting to me.
And again, like, that's the point of it all. And that's why this is so bizarre to watch. You already brought Montgomery in. There's no way you thought to yourselves, well, look, I don't see how we're a successful football team without a complimentary running back. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But Donnie, while you say that Montgomery's ruling the world, 3.8 yards per carry, Jahmyr Gibbs 5. And he didn't have a single run of above 10 yards. Donnie, give Jahmyr Gibbs 30 attempts at every goal line carry, and what do you think the game looks like? Do you think he can't touch 120 yards and 3 touchdowns on that workload?
But here's the thing that we do know in Detroit, and I guess it's a Dan Campbell thing. They had a running back last year that they loved over everybody else, and I believe they're doing that again. You know what? Goal line carries all going to this guy. I don't know. Maybe it's just
why
Detroit.
Would it not be the rookie inside the top 15?
Detroit had DeAndre Swift on their roster last year and basically treated him like, you're lucky to have a job in the NFL, pal. Now he's with the Philadelphia Eagles. Looks like he might be one of the best backs in the NFL. I don't know. They have a plethora of running backs, it's apparent. But when they fall in love with one back, They just let it ride, man. They just let it ride.
It's, again, and look, it is what it is. I'm glad I haven't reinvested in the Jahmyr Gibbs Offensive Rookie of the Year, but
value. Yeah,
it's a weird thing because, as you said, like, imagine, I think Christian Gonzalez, the Oregon cornerback that the Patriots were able to draft.
Looks like a good one.
Well, yeah. But Donnie, imagine he was a Detroit Lion.
Yes, correct.
Instead of Jahmyr Gibbs.
Correct.
Same thing we said with the Falcons. Imagine that team had to lean on Tyler Allgeier, but in return they got Jalen Carter, who's one of the five best interior defensive linemen in football.
And by the way, like, I love where we're going with this too, because the whole MO of is, if you're going to get a really good running back, you're going to draft him high. Your whole goal is to run him into the ground over 4 to 5 years and then tell him thank you for your service, and away you go. Hopefully you can earn some other pay anywhere else. Why would you take a guy like Bijan Robinson / Jahmyr Gibbs and not say, you know what I'm going to do? Run him into the ground. Because why? He's talented. And that's why we drafted him. There's nothing behind the scenes to go, hey, you know what? Don't hand the football to this guy. We need him in 6 years. What? That's not the NFL.
No, it's
man.
Yeah, as you said, the Tyler Allgeier being a 1,000-yard rusher last year, Atlanta knew that before the draft. David Montgomery being given a bag in free agency. Well, Detroit knew that before the draft. The decision making is puzzling. It just is. And you know, there's some people, like, I see the fantasy community, Don's like, we told you David Montgomery was going to get the workload. And it's like, you know what? Congratulations that you were correct on what Detroit would do. It doesn't mean Detroit's doing the correct thing, because I don't believe they are.
Yeah, well, it took a year for Kyle Shanahan to say, you know what, maybe I was stupid for saying 50-50, where we got a running back and let's not give him the football at all. Like, McCaffrey is running wild out here at this time. We'll see if he eases in, but a running back in the NFL is one of the easier chances to plug and play. Now, if you want to argue and say, well, hey, look, he's got to be able to pick up the blitz on third down, he can't play third down. So what? Give him the football on first and second down. And is there two better guys in the NFL to actually throw five screen passes a game to than Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs? My goodness. Get him out in space. They'll wreck shop.
Well, and that's the thing about Jahmyr. Like, so the thing with Bijan, Donnie, right, is it took 1 week for him to take over the majority of the carries from Tyler Allgeier. Now, Allgeier's still getting his and whatnot, but Bijan is clearly getting all the pass catching work.
Yeah, he's crazy.
He didn't even throw the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs that much.
It's crazy.
Montgomery ended up with more receiving yards last night. Like, I'm sorry, I don't care what anybody says. This is a ridiculous look from the Lions. Good for them. And this is the thing. They're a 3-1 football team, so what are the expectations now? Deep playoff run. Well, congratulations, because your first round pick is going to be largely irrelevant with the way that you are using him, when it didn't have to be that way.
Yeah, no, it's fun to watch this play out, and it's fun to say, like, what are you doing here, and you could have used it elsewhere. Who knows? Maybe a little bit more is in store down the line, but it's clear that Bijan Robinson should be getting the football just about every time. You want to give another guy a spell chance like Allgeier? Sure, and he's a solid back, which again brings it into it. You probably would have been fine. Now, I always like to equate this, Kevin, a lot of times to what the Philadelphia Eagles did, because that's when I grew up. If you remember, and again, you're probably a young tyke at this point, drafting of Donovan McNabb. The reason that the Eagles went after Donovan McNabb and not to say Ricky Williams, when everybody wanted, it was running back crazy back then. People love running backs. Ricky Williams one of the best. Andy Reid goes, hold on. We have a guy named Deuce Daly, who we just drafted a year before, who's really good. We'll be fine. Let's get the quarterback. When the rest of the city was saying, I don't care about Deuce Daly. Just give me the superstar running back. So maybe there was already a little bit of intuition back in the late 1990s there of, hey, look, if you have a decent running back, hold on to him and take other players that can really help your franchise.
Yeah.
If the Eagles never get Donovan McNabb, who knows what Andy Reid would have done in Philadelphia. But that's the way it is. The Football Friday will set the table for everything today. Also, as we said, we'll go over a little Major League Baseball tonight, because the Houston Astros now only a game lead over the Seattle Mariners. And I got news for you. The Astros ain't winning tonight. They're not winning tonight. Already locked it in, minus 117. You got your ace on the mound for Arizona and a tomato can named JP. Not our producer, JP's finance here. On the grid. So there it is. It's a Football Friday. We'll be back at Sonny and Kevin right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how I didn't see this, Kevin, earlier in the week. Our good friend of the show, Dove Kleiman, right? His report on September the 26th. Jets coach Robert Saleh is at risk of losing the locker room over his loyalty to Zach Wilson. Just it zipped out of the screen.
About that. But then,
there's an update now, though. There's an update now. You want to hear the update?
Yeah.
I'm going to read the tweet to you. Update. The Jets have now replaced injured quarterback Aaron Rodgers as team captain with a different player. They gave the C to defensive tackle Queenan Williams. And it says, now the team has no offensive captains. Last year, Zach Wilson was the captain, and he's also currently their starter, but the team gave Williams the honor over him. Oh, it's going to get good. It's going to get good today. It's or Sunday night.
But my point is, I'm going to give you as many chances as I can to reassess your opinion on this.
Yeah.
Johnny, this is a mess in New York. You think this thing is going to potentially end as like a tanking four-win like mess.
And then you get a player like, Zeke.
Fine?
Yeah, and then you get a guy like Zeke in the draft, and then you just hammer down next year, right? Is that what you do?
I think this is going
Dallas
to be...
Dallas Cowboys style?
No, I think this is going to be a real disaster, man. I really do. I just... Unless they bring someone in, I can't believe the option was, you know what, man, this is getting bad. Let's get Trevor Siemian in here. I can't believe that.
And again, that's not going to do anything anyway. Now, look, sometimes I got to talk myself off the ledge. But I keep eyeing up this 41.5 on Sunday night, and I can't figure it out for the life of me. I really can't. Because unless I'm thinking that we have 3 points at the break for the Jets, which I guess could be a possibility at this point.
Certainly.
But if there's any game that it's like, okay, the weather's not going to be an issue. Kansas City's not going to slow it down in the first half. Heck, did you say slow it down against the Bears? No. Like, hey, this Bears offense stinks. Yeah, let's just keep on laying the wood to them where we get 30-plus at the half. I just can't see myself in a 17-9 game against the Jets. And you know what I'm saying? Thinking this for the Jets. If you're going out with one last party, are you really looking at Zach Wilson? Okay. Look, kid. We're going to see if we can Bill Belichick this game. You're going to throw 5 times. That's it. We're going to go power formation, 12 personnel repeatedly, and just run it into the line and slow this game down and pray we can win. If I'm the Jets, I open up. Kevin, I let him throw 55 times in this game. Sink or swim, you're going to be off the team by next week.
I saw like an Orlovsky headline that was along the same idea. And I was like, I thought it's what you just said, Don, and I think that makes sense, right? Like this conservative, like feel like everything is your fault approach that they do is not working. Be like, listen, Zach, it doesn't matter, man. You throw 6 picks, it doesn't matter. Just let it rip.
Yes.
Just let it absolutely fire away and we'll live with the results. But they're not going to do that. They're not. And the Chiefs defense, we don't know fully yet, Donnie, because it's hard to imagine, but the Chiefs defense might be pretty good. Like, again, if I told you final score was 28-10, you're not stunned by it.
No.
I hate, like, it's a tough spot, but is the side not Kansas City? Like, I don't want to do this after all these years of refusing to ever lay big numbers
Kansas
with
City.
Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're so bad at covering these big numbers, but they did it against Chicago. Like, Donnie, if you were betting that side right now, would you be looking to take or lay?
Just based on what I've seen, I probably would be looking to lay, but I know where we're going with this. Like they're not world. Kansas City's not world beaters on the road, smoking guys by 30. You know, like they would at home in Kansas City. So I probably would try to lay it, but I'm telling you, I don't know. I think and your point was valid. 28-10. I'm just looking at 28-14. That covers a total. 28-14 covers your total this weekend. It has to. Are we settling for field goals for like? What are we actually doing this weekend?
Well, you
this
know, is, Andy will do
so
that.
So intriguing.
You know, Andy will do that though. When he's like, this team's dead in the water. Like you. It's a weird spot, and this I know you've obviously gone through these machinations in your head.
Yeah.
So someone will probably want to say, well, why not just take the Chiefs team total? Because you're not getting there without the Jets.
Correct.
And then the Chiefs will just, it's all good. We'll score 24. Nobody cares. 24-7 final score. Let's go home. So I know that that's why the Jets are so important to this number.
Yes, very important. And again, you're not asking for a lot. The number I keep getting to in my head is, can they possibly score 16 points in this game or so? And I say yes to myself. Because if I'm just trying to put my, Robert Saleh's shoes and saying, okay, how do we actually win this game? Well, you win this game because you let your quarterback rip, right? It's the only way.
No, because I also wonder if they just think everything's, well, we'll do the Buffalo thing, where we do nothing on offense, have one or two random good plays, that's how we'll get our points, and then the defense will have to try and win the game. But again, their defense hasn't been, you know, you talk about world beaters, their defense hasn't been, a world beater thus far in the season.
By the way, world beaters, Minnesota Vikings now 4.5-point favorites. I mean, everybody's seeing it my way, Kevin, including you now, right?
Yeah, I'm all over Carolina,
Yeah, when you see that four and a half, you know what you think?
Value?
You didn't have to say, Kevin.
On the Carolina Panthers. Mm. I can't believe that this is a unanimous Andy Dalton is greater than sign Bryce Young. Yeah. Out of control.
Right now he's better. Right now he's better. Give me him. All right. What was the other game? Joe Burrow is off the injury report list for week four. Doesn't mean he's cured, but it probably means he's feeling better than he did over the past couple weeks. It's an interesting game to me because, Kevin, I don't believe in Tennessee. One iota here. What's the way you attack Tennessee? It's not handing the football off up the middle.
No.
It's beating up on their secondary. Loved what I saw out of Jamar Chase last week. So I'm just trying to build formulas. I haven't bet on anything this weekend, which I will settle in tonight and tomorrow. Make a couple wagers there on team totals, and also, most importantly, loving these prop bets this weekend. But I got a feeling, touchdown passes, finally getting in the end zone. I think Jamar Chase gets it again. I think last week was like, okay, we're back on the same page, and I think he really gets it. I'm trying to debate this because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be in my car driving home, and you're going to hear, touchdown pass for Joe Burrow, T. Higgins. I'm like, because not to say that I don't like T. Higgins. He's a really good player, but I feel like I want to isolate Chase. And it's like, I know touchdown passes are coming, but should I take the bigger number in T. Higgins? Just one of those outlooks I'm looking for here. But it's nice to see he's off there. I do think we finally see a semblance of what we saw last year at Cincinnati on offense.
Well, they have no choice because as you basically, not only can you not run it on Tennessee, but it's open season in terms of throwing it on them. It's everyone knows it going into every game. It's like, uh-oh, our opponents are going to have to throw it on us all game. And then they just do, and they do it successfully. So it should be another big game for Chase. I think yardage-wise, I would probably look to bet T. Higgins, but Chase didn't score on Monday night, right? Because Chase hasn't found the end zone yet this season, which is, one of those things that's going to have to change.
Yes, it is. That's where you look in the locker room and it's like the A.J. Brown thing. Hey, look, we got you involved. It's almost like a microcosm of both of them, right? Got you involved now. All right, now we're going to get the end zone for you. And sometimes I love those betting angles because you're not going to have a superstar athlete at wide receiver and go, you know what, it's been 4 weeks, you haven't scored yet. Like, no, he's getting in this weekend. You are going to have specific play designs if he is not open. And you know, it's the one that made me laugh last night, which was awesome. Like, couldn't have worked out any better for Christian Watson. Not really that influencing throughout the entire game, but you knew they would have a couple plays in the red zone for him. Case in point, wide open touchdown pass in the corner. I had to do a double take too. I was like, is he number 8 or number 9? I was like, oh yeah, thank goodness. That's Watson in the end zone. So I enjoyed that one. I'm trying to think of a way because I love to take round robins. I think they're fantastic. I like to take like the profit boost there. Three guys to score a touchdown, see what happens. I'm trying to figure out what my angle is. Week number one, Kevin, was taking prop bets, but taking them at the milestone numbers. Like, okay, the guy's supposed to get 50, take him at 75. This guy's supposed to get 75, take him at 100. See what I mean? And I was profitable there. The last week, I was taking a look at touchdown passes out of the quarterback position, which was profitable again. I do like those angles because, you know, taking a team like Kirk Cousins, hey, can you get two touchdown passes or three last? I took him to get three last week, and he got it. So that's what I'm trying to decipher. Which angle am I taking this weekend, and how can I have fun and make a wager? And also, logged into DraftKings right now. I think I'm going to push the button on the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend for my eliminator pick because I don't want to use the Kansas City Chiefs on the road, K-Dub. A lot more to go today. It's Football Friday on the Grid. This is Moneyline, and we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
TBD's out on the market. If you know what that is, to be determined. Cleveland has a to be determined next to their name right now because apparently Deshaun Watson struggling here a little bit with a shoulder injury that took place last week. Now, who is the backup?
Oh, DTR.
What? You know what's kind of funny here? Hear me out on this. I really like Cleveland this weekend. So he said, some people just be like, hey, I bet Baltimore to win the Super Bowl, Kev. I bet him every week, man. Like, that's what, you know what I mean? People do that. People actually do that. I don't do that. I love Cleveland this weekend. But I started seeing, like, propping up, like, oh, no, Deshaun Watson might not play. Do you know why my wheels started spinning in my head going, like, I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. How crazy is that? How wild? Your quarterback has $250 million contract fully guaranteed. And I'm going, like, you know what? I still think I like this game with Cleveland because obviously you're banking on the defense and it was like, hey, Deshaun, make a couple plays. I don't hate it. If you tell me right now Deshaun Watson doesn't go, I don't hate it. It's wild.
What's the number if it goes from Watson to Thompson Robinson?
Ones are showing up now, BetMGM. So basically there were 2.5s. Now they're showing up at 1.5 at FanDuel. One's the low point at BetMGM. But no, I think Baltimore would actually be a favorite.
But never above the field backup. Goal.
Never above a field goal, yeah. -2.5 in that range, something like that. They're not going above a field goal, no.
Yeah, I think if you're a big-time teaser player, if you can all of a sudden get a – assuming it's – even if it – can you trust DTR against the Baltimore Ravens? They're banged up. I don't know. C.J. Stroud was fine against them mostly.
No, I don't mind. Isn't that crazy? Like, I'm saying, I was like, I'm going to get Deshaun Watson. Like, who's going to be able to move the football? And everything I watch about Deshaun Watson, I was like, oh, he looks okay. Like, it's not like,
yeah,
oh, my God, he's out. He was better last week. But also, are you going to get a Deshaun Watson that goes, don't tell anybody, I can't throw over 15 yards. And then you get beat that way. That's how you get beat. You at least need somebody who's going to be able to stretch it. I remember a couple years back, if you remember that one, Ben Roethlisberger hurt his shoulder, right? And they're saying he can't even throw.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
All week long, they go, and I actually won my bet anyway on the Broncos, but I was like, look at this, man. He can't even throw. He doesn't throw in warm-ups. He comes out, uncorks like a 65-yard on the first play of the game. Like, you know what? I'm done with this. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, this is just stupidity. Yeah. Ben hasn't thrown all week and won't throw until the first snap of the game. Let's go deep. Stop.
But that's, yeah, that was kind of like a state. If I'm not mistaken, though, right, didn't as the game go on, like, it got worse and worse for him? Like, he couldn't really throw the football. Am I right about that?
Yeah. Yes. Like, he was out. And I think that was the game, too, that Antonio Brown got knocked out the week before, I believe, wasn't it? Where he didn't even play in that game. So it's one of those where it was lined up for Denver all the way through. It was actually closer than most people thought it would be. It was under a touchdown. I think the line I got was like 5.5. They went, he won by 6 points, something wild like that. So it's a pretty good workout. By the way, side point here. Have you went on social media at all today with the big news breaking here?
I don't know.
Do you watch like DJ Vlad on like YouTube? You ever see his videos?
I've
really
seen him.
Like 5 million followers. So yeah, like R&B guys, his people in the industry. You know, murders in the past, fights in the past. You know, all those. You know, they're very interesting at times. I mean, it's not like I wait like, hey, pick the notification on. There's a new DJ Vlad video. But this one is coming out now that a grand jury has indicted Dwayne Keefe D. Davis for the murder of Tupac Shakur 27 years later. Now, if anybody had any backtracking, and why would you? He's been doing like videos and basically incriminating himself for like the last 2 years. So he actually just got arrested for it and indicted. We'll see where it goes. But one of the biggest things, I was a freshman in college, just starting my first year of college. November, I think it was September 7th is when Tupac got killed. It was such, I think this was before social media. Like, oh my gosh, like Tupac's gone. Like, what happened here? So it's wild that 27 years later, they finally are on to something here.
That's very odd. Man, oh man.
He's 27 years ago. Does that predate you, Kevin? Does that predate you?
No. It's close, though, but not.
How old are you, by the way? I mean, the people want to know.
28.
Are you really? Now, what's Ben? How old's Ben?
I think he's a year older, so 29.
Really? All right, there you go. Yeah. It's a young network here we got going on. You know, so there
including
you go.
Yourself. What are you, about 25?
Exactly. I am the tutor. I'm the tutor over here. All right, let's get back to football here. But I just thought that was an interesting thing where maybe we have finally found the killers of Tupac Shakur. Better late than never. Now, the reason I brought up TBD is we're talking quarterbacks here. Bryce Young looks like he's going to give it a go for Carolina. The minute they say Bryce Young, the line gets worse because nobody expects the number one high player in the draft, a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, apparently can't play football, which gives me a little bit of a chuckle. And no, I'm not burying him because I do think he's going to be a solid quarterback in the NFL, but right now he's struggling a little bit, coming off injury, team's not that good. You see why that line is moving here. Now another one, Kevin. Matthew Stafford's going to line up against who? Not Gardner Minshew. Anthony Richardson cleared here. I got to tell you right now, thoughts on that game, Rams and the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say I'm buying into the Colts, But they look like a competent football team here with a game that tells you a lot of respect that they're favored over the Rams. Donnie, you expected the Rams to be bad too.
Well, yeah,
not the same thing when Matthew Stafford is going at quarterback. Like, they're favored, Indianapolis. I'm impressed.
But that's kind of the thing, though. And this is what I'm struggling with LA, Donnie, right? Mm-hmm. Is even there, you kind of. If I would have told you a team's favored at home over LA, you know, a month ago, you'd been like, of course they are. Who in the world's not favored over LA in their own building? Mm-hmm. Now, Stafford's obviously impressed, and Stafford's going to have a quarterback advantage, whether it's Minshew or Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually finding the Rams to be a little bit more puzzling because we've seen this before. We've seen teams, Donnie, win week one, pull off an upset, and be like, huh. And then they're actually just as bad as we all thought they would be, right? Like, the AFC South is notorious for providing one of those type of football teams there. Like, what if the... Like, again, Joe Burrow is hobbled, right? So offensively, they couldn't do a ton to him. But they moved the ball in that football game. Obviously, were able to snag the victory. The Niners hung a 30-piece on him, as per usual, on the road. Pulled away from that team. I'm just... I don't know how good the Los Angeles Rams are. I don't know. Like, the Rams' defense, in terms of, like, you know, what's supposed to be the best unit on the field, what's supposed to be the worst unit on the field. And, like, isn't the Rams' defense supposed to be the worst unit on the field? Maybe that game's an over?
I think the game isn't over, by the way, too. And you know where I'm actually... Usually it's like, okay, Indianapolis, they can move the football with Richardson. I actually like the Rams' passing game in this one. Nacua, Tutu Atwell, stack up some yards for Stafford out there. That 45.5, I think it looks pretty promising to me because I do think, look, credit Shane Steichen, and I brought it up this morning too, Kevin. Credit Shane Steichen and credit, obviously, Jonathan Gannon. Whatever the Eagles had going on at coordinators, those teams are playing hard when they're not supposed to be very good football teams, but showing up and being competent here. I do like it. I think it's legitimate here that the Colts should be able to beat the Rams this weekend, and I do think they will. I actually think they will.
And let's just say the Colts. So you said you think the Colts win the game, right?
I think the Colts win. Yeah, I do.
So if the Colts win, Tennessee loses like they're supposed to at Cincinnati, boom, right away, you've got Indianapolis booked as the second option in this division in the market. If the Falcons pull off an upset in London, what's to stop the Colts from becoming your divisional favorites here? Yes. 1-3 Jacksonville would be all of a sudden. Yeah. 3-1 Indianapolis would be through four weeks of the season.
Yeah, Mike was on with us. Mike Blewett was on with us this morning. That was my exact question to him. I said, you know what? Just look at that division. And he gave a pretty good response to it. It was basically, Kevin, do you think the Colts, if they win this weekend, are legitimate contenders to win the AFC South? And I think the answer is correct. It's not really about the Colts. It's about, this can't be what we thought Jacksonville was going to be, can it?
I didn't like Jacksonville that much. I mean, that defense is bad. The offense is sputtering more than maybe fair enough. Like, I would have anticipated here, but I found the South to be open. There's a reason I have a piece of the Texans to win it. It would be funny if it all of a sudden is Indianapolis instead of Houston, Donnie. But let me add this, okay? Now, if the Dolphins go out there and win 14 games, best record in football, Mike McDaniel probably wins Coach of the Year. Yep. But Shane Steichen is going to be right there. When you factor in a rookie quarterback, by the way, the rookie quarterback that a lot of people said, listen, this guy's not ready to play NFL football in no way, shape, or form, okay? And the Jonathan Taylor saga, he goes there and wins that division, 9-10 wins with Indianapolis, Shane Steichen's your Coach of the Year. I mean, just
should
this.
Be. No, should be. He really should be. I mean, the job he's done there, where I was coming into the season as this is going to be like a clown car over there because they're starting their own quarterback. Apparently, it doesn't matter what quarterback they start. He's got a game plan involved that can win, including beating Baltimore in Baltimore with Gardner Minshew. That's pretty impressive. And their defense up front, that front seven looks like it's getting some push, some movement, some good pass rushing. We'll see if it continues this weekend. Another quarterback injury to deal with here as we keep going down the line. Baker Mayfield's going to go into the dome, but he's not taking on Derek Carr. It's going to be Jameis Winston. 3.5 number. Stays at 3.5 this week, which basically tells me where I don't think we're getting too much movement here from Derek Carr to Jameis Winston. Now, I don't know when that line actually was secondarily opened, if it was opened on Jameis Winston, but I can't imagine that the Saints would have been any more than, I don't know, 5.5 or in that range as a favorite, right?
That number's been climbing on New Orleans because it was -3 at one point. So that number's been climbing. I don't really understand how that is the case. Like, the idea of, oh, come on, what's the difference between Carr and Jameis. Well, the Saints have told us there's a massive difference because Jameis was in the building and they moved heaven and earth to bring Derek Carr in.
Yeah.
But also, I'm not saying it's all Jameis' fault, but like, it was 17-0 when Derek Carr was in the game, and then they lost 18-17. Like, yeah. We have evidence that they're not the same football team if you remove Derek Carr. I don't understand why people are lining up Jameis in this spot. I like the Bucs plus the 3.5.
And by the way, BSS lined up this weekend waiting for the Vegas Raiders. Do you want to know why he's interested in the Vegas Raiders this weekend, Kevin?
Is he going to Vegas?
Nope, there is a quarterback from Purdue that looks like he's in line to start if Jimmy G cannot go. So he's calling an outright victory with Aiden O'Connell to beat the Chargers on the road.
Does he keep that job to win, O'Connell?
I mean, he probably should. You said, well, you can't do that. You know how much money I've invested in Garoppolo? I think Garoppolo's deal basically says, if we want to cut you, we don't owe you a damn thing ever again, which is so wild, right? Mike, yeah, we got our franchise guy. Let's rework that contract because if he stinks, we don't even want to pay the guy anymore. Apparently, that's what the case is. We're going to talk more NFL and also get you set for college football Saturday. Get ready. It's Moneyline on a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Friday Night Lights tonight, Pac-12 style. Pac-12 yes. After dark. Utah, Oregon State, line climbing in the favor of Oregon State, which leads me to believe we're not all that enthused that Cam Rising plays tonight for the Utah Utes here. And oh, what a total of 44. Woo-hoo. How's that possible? That's just really what Utah really is the what? Iowa of the Pac-12? And we're like, we're just going to play defense, and if we get the 14 or 12 points, that should be good enough? Come on now. We can't stay under the total tonight, can we?
I do know how you feel about totals like that in college football. Basically, it's the equivalent of like an NFL total at like 37 or something like that, right?
Yes.
But this is really interesting. So I am betting this game tonight. I actually took Utah plus the 4. I think they're the better team. I think their defense is really, really solid. And they've when I say that, in this matchup, I think their defense is really solid. And people know I don't believe on Utah at a high level, but I don't believe in this Oregon State team as much either. My thing, though, Donnie, is imagine betting a Utah win total under. Because you go, man, this Cam Rising injury is going to linger. And you're 4 weeks into the Ute season. They're sat there freaking 4-0, man.
Like, what are they telling him? Like, hey, buddy, just keep rehabbing.
I saw.
And pretty soon they go, we don't need
hold
you.
Hold on. No, Donnie, I saw something today. He might redshirt and come back next year for Utah. How crazy is that? Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, but again, like, this is the thing with the NIL, right? Cam Rising doesn't appear to be someone with, you know, incredible, you know, pro outlook, right? That doesn't seem to be the description on Rising. Why not, right? I'm sure he got NIL money from Utah this year, and the fact that he'd be willing to stick around, I'm sure they'd love to have him. The guy's a, you know, a Pac-12 Player of the Year, Pac-12, you know, Championship Game MVP. So this is the kind of guy that you definitely want to keep around if he's willing to. And I mean, at this point, again, he's already missed 4 games. A line, as you said, suggests tonight he doesn't play again.
And also, take a look at NIL money. Most people just, you know, glom to the big guys, right? Oh, I'm getting $2 million a year, $1 million. Like, even if Cam Rising's getting $200,000, if he's not going to make an NFL roster, he's not going to make any money in the pros. And you stay and get another year to get your degree / master's. Whoa. It's a no-brainer now. Like, you would just keep staying. Hey, if you're not expected to be Tom Brady in the NFL, stay as long as you want in college. Make a couple hundred grand. Who would love to get out of college with no student loans, no debt, and have, like, a bankroll about $400K, like, hey, now, yep, I'm going to go into the workforce, and I already got my money. It's good stuff.
And I think, you know, again, if the prospects for Rising are battle your way onto a practice squad, maybe, and I'm not trying to be slanderous, like, but, you know, XFL, USFL, if that's what the pro prospects are, Donnie, right, then, well, maximize your college money while you can, because, you know, nobody knows the exact amount, but Sam Hartman must have been given an outrageous amount of money from Notre Dame to end up going to Notre Dame. You know, for Cam Rising, it is and he doesn't have to do it because his agents will do it for him. I mean, there's going to be bidders on his services. We talk about how loaded the quarterback position is in college football right now, but a lot of your favorites, you know, list your 10 favorite quarterbacks in college football. A lot of them are supposed to go. Caleb, Drake May, Sam Hartman, Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers. A lot of these guys are supposed to make it, you know, to move to the next level. So Cam Rising could enter next season, Donnie, at the right program with legitimately top 10 Heisman odds. Ooh, I got to grab something. I'll be right back.
Legitimately. All right. I got to have this. All right. Let me take this. 167-168. USC, Colorado. Noon kickoff tomorrow, which I think is fantastic. Kevin can't stand it. That's besides the point. We're all winners because we get games like this to start. And we're not even talking about being a good game, and it might not be a good game. 72.5, 73, depending on where you're shopping at, as the total. That's three touchdowns plus in that game for USC. 21.5. These are the games that are so interesting to me because you saw Colorado open up. And again, the easiest week that you could probably claim upsets is week number one. Hey, TCU is ranked in this and that. Well, maybe TCU isn't all that good, right? And you take a look and say maybe Colorado was better than we thought they were. They handle Nebraska at home, slip by Colorado State. They probably should have lost that game to Colorado State. But they were riding high. They go into Oregon and get absolutely smoked. It looked like it was a, you know, top 10 Division I team versus the Division III team last Saturday. But the interesting part about that is do you let your eyes deceive you? Is Colorado really that bad? Are they going to absolutely get just choked out by USC? The USC's defense isn't nearly as good as Oregon's is. But USC's offense can certainly put you into the stratosphere and knock you around. 35-plus points guaranteed in this game by USC is how we're feeling. But I often think that it's almost like the buy low, sell high, right? You couldn't have bought any higher on Colorado than you did last week. I'm going to take a money line to beat Oregon, which a lot of people did. Didn't come close to that game. They were out of it from the very first drive. But is there extra value this weekend coming in on a team like Colorado? Because it was 21.5, Kevin, on the road last week at Oregon. Yeah. It's 21.5, but you are at home, fresh off getting knocked off your pedestal. I'm very interested to see how Colorado comes back this week. And what are your thoughts on Colorado coming back this week and playing?
Yeah, I feel like I am leaning towards Colorado, but I'm really stumped on this total, and I'm frustrated by that because I was thinking that they were going to drop the total, Donnie, off of the game against Oregon, right? I mean, this team scored 6 points and they were six garbage time points, right? So I thought we might see 67.5. You know, it's a touchdown higher than that. I don't know if I have what it takes to grab under in this football game, but is the idea if you know, Colorado covers in a shootout 50 to 30? Like, what's the MO? And by the way, 50 to 30 might sound like a joke. That's hardly over the total. That is hardly over the number there. Like, what's the energy that USC enters this football game with? Do we think USC is going to be as angry as Oregon is? Because I don't. Caleb Williams is on my TV as much as Patrick Mahomes is in terms of commercials. Like, I don't think Caleb Williams is going to have any problems with Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to wrap my head around here, because we always knew that maybe Colorado wasn't going to bring a great defense into the fold, but their defense was really competent against Nebraska. The defense obviously was competent against Colorado State. When you're going in the upper echelon talent where you just can't keep up with the running backs and the wide receivers and you have a really good football player delivering the football, I'm interested to see. But again, it's different circumstances. When you are Colorado and say, all right, man, playing good here, and yes, I get I understand that they played at TCU. But Austin's just a different experience, right? You get the cobwebs out before you can't even hear yourself thinking. Before you can blink, you're getting rocked, like double uppercuts to the jaw. You're on the mat going like, did the game even start yet? Yeah, we're down like four touchdowns. Yeah. We can't come back in this one. It's interesting to see because you have your home crowd there. You're going to be excited. It's USC. Eyes on the prize. You know, Fox, big game Saturday, noon kickoff here. I want to see how they come out because it'll be interesting. Like if they get boat raced again, Oregon style. Like, I don't. It's almost like the expectations change for Colorado when maybe they shouldn't have, right? Because if they get beat the brakes off them twice, you say, well, that's what actually they're supposed to do. But the feeling for Colorado isn't that case. But the odds makers are telling us, Kevin, that's supposed to be the case. They're supposed to get broken in half in this game.
But yes. What's odd, though, again, is like, If you told me the final score of this football game was 49-28, Donnie, that is, that's all right. Like, Donnie, USC is trying to win a national championship. You know what I mean? Like, Colorado has a win total of 5.5, updated.
Yeah.
5.5. So losing this game by 3 scores is not some, you know, tragic indictment. And that's why, to me, if you take into the Oregon game, right, you know, kind of hindsight, what was the most important part of that football game in terms of capping it? Well, it was how offended, clearly, Dan Lanning was Colorado State level of offended by, you know, Colorado's existence, kind of. But I don't know. Is that how USC is going into this game? I wouldn't think
USC's
so.
USC's more laid back, Lincoln Riley.
USC's above that. Am I wrong?
Fun. Yeah, I guess they would be, but also maybe if USC played them last week, where, you know, USC is really good, and they're like, yeah, look, who cares about USC? Like, Colorado's going to pace them this week. Like, that was the feeling that even though the true bettors and the odds makers knew what the deal was with Oregon, but the public themselves getting caught up in the hype didn't know that. So again, if Oregon was sitting back last week, I'm like, we're the real deal team. We're supposed to be on the spotlight. We're at home this weekend. We're going to bust this team up. And all I keep hearing is Deion on ESPN, Shador on ESPN. It looks like this. Buffalo Nation, here they come. It does get your backs up here, but certain coaches look at them like, yeah, it's fine. Like, Saban would never do that, right? Like, hey, Colorado's going in 3-0 to take on Alabama. Like, Saban wouldn't be out there like, they're playing for clicks. You know, we're playing for wins. He'd be like, hey,
no.
Hey guys, come on. We're going to win this game. Let's go out and win this game.
Yeah, 100%.
That's the type of wavelength for Lincoln Riley for me.
Yeah, but we have seen Lincoln throughout his career, you know, give a little bit of life to a team inside his division that you never expected, or conference, right? He should do all the time with Iowa State back when he was in the Big 12. I think I probably would end up taking above 3 scores with Colorado in this football game. And basically, look, if USC no-shows it and it's an under, then good. And if Shador has to play well, then hopefully they've, you know, put a game plan in to play well. I will say, and yes, I'm a little, you know, you're annoyed anytime you lose a bet. It took Dylan Edwards, Donnie, over 34.5 rushing yards last game. Mm-hmm. He had, I think, I don't know, 3 carries for 4 yards, whatever it was. When your defensive offensive line is getting beat up in that way, and it, mm-hmm. like they're pinning their ears back on first, second, and third down. Like, I understand you want to go fast and you want the ball in Shador's hands. Let's not be ridiculous here. Dylan Edwards is an electric runner. This team cannot go out there tomorrow with the thought of, okay, pass the ball on every single play. That's silly. That's bad coaching.
Now, do you get a tear in your eye when Shador and Deion walk 40-40, go up and back, and then you get the kiss and away you go into the game?
I think it's a nice thing. I
moment.
Do like it. I mean, I wonder where Shiloh is on the kid rankings after going viral for all the wrong reasons. But
he was probably way up there on the pick six, though, so he might have moved up and then down. Like, uh-oh, maybe got a little bit too big for his britches there. Mm. The boys popping tomorrow for college football today. You guys end the 12 right when the big game starts there. You going out to the bar? Are you staying behind? What are we doing here? Like, where's that game going to be viewed at?
Man, my sources told me that BSS is on the move and can't hang out after, which I was disappointed to hear. Apparently, he's
got
something
weeks in a row.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened to the guy.
He used to be all in on football. Now he's all out on football. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, maybe he's going to a baseball game. Catch the Yanks one last time, maybe? I don't know.
One last time to shed a tear at that point. Yeah, but that's I like the fact that that's going to be that noon kickoff, which we were talking about here. Now, other game here we'll get to quickly. Notre Dame and Duke, which is kind of a feisty matchup. 6.5 to 5.5. Like, you wouldn't want to say, like, oh, Notre Dame, you know, tough loss last week. It's hard to recover when you have everything in front of you, right? Like, man, we were a play or two away, and maybe if we had 11 players on defense, we would have won that football game. And then you got to play Duke, who, again, it's not a big-time atmosphere at Wallace Wade. And granted, they beat Clemson there, and they stormed the field. But this is one of those games, it shouldn't be sleepy. Like, Duke's not coming in 2-2. Watch out. They're like a rattlesnake. Don't step on them. They're a pretty good football team, and Notre Dame is going to get a run from them here.
Yeah, they are. I have no idea, though, because so much of this feels like you have to try and handicap Notre Dame's mentality heading into the football game, and I don't know how you're supposed to do that. Because there's a world where they're pissed off and focused and they blast this team, and there's a world where they feel like, oh, we ruined our season last week, and they don't recover and they come out and it's an ugly, ugly, ugly game.
Now, Sam Hartman said he owns the state of North Carolina. Where's Wake Forest? Yeah, North Carolina. Coming back to his home in Durham. The fans will be rocking and rolling there. No, I said it for him. I think that's what he's thinking, though. So I'll put that out there, and you know that's what he's thinking here. One quick segment before we shut it down on a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball this weekend. You know, hasn't clinched yet? The Arizona Diamondbacks, the Miami Marlins, the Chicago Cubs, the Cincinnati Reds, the Seattle Mariners, the Houston Astros, the Toronto Blue Jays. Unbelievable close to the season. Now, for me, like I like to joke, Kevin, you know what? Most people hate this. Apparently, they can't stand the final few weeks of the season of baseball, not counting for anything. They love it when baseball disappears on September 5th, and then you try to get October baseball fired up for it again. This is a fantastic weekend overall. I have a couple wagers on the Phillies and a couple wagers on the Astros. More importantly, on the Astros. So it's just, you know, $15 bet here on a future, $25 bet here, $30 bet here, just accumulating some things. I'm so nervous because they always have the worst case scenario. You usually say, Kevin, oh, they're facing Arizona to end the season. Oh, that's going to be good if they need it. They have two tomato cans, Kevin, going up against Merrill Kelly and also tonight, Zach Gallen. They got Verlander Sunday. It's almost like a last-ditch effort. And I saw last night, which I thought the Rangers would win, that a 2-0 lead, a 2-1 lead heading into the ninth, and blew that game in the bottom of the ninth, which would have gave Houston a 2-game lead that goes, okay, we've got to win one of these three. We're going to do that. Now the pressure goes right back here, specifically if the Mariners can knock off once again the Texas Rangers. It's awesome to watch.
Yeah, it is. As I told you, I am considering betting on Houston, but you're telling me they're losing tonight. I'm not. If I bet on the Astros and then they miss the playoffs, like I've said has been possible for so long,
yep,
I'll be miserable. So I have to try and, you know, play the timing appropriate there with that whole thing, and we'll see how that goes. By the way, just quickly for people here, it's the only place I'll say this because I'm keeping it a secret, but you know, Donnie, little $10 free bets in our strategy, we throw these on futures and let it go. Yeah, I get a bunch of $10 free bets from DK. They're all going on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. They're all.
Ooh, that's nice. Eagles. Oh, by the way, keep that, because I had two wagers yesterday, Kevin, $100 total. $50 on Christian Watson, close to 4-1, fantastic. The other 50 was on a three-leg parlay, which lost because I just got the rushing yards under, and that was the only one I missed. But that's a $50 wager that I'm thinking about splashing onto somebody for a futures bet. We'll see. For Christian behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh, enjoy your weekend. We'll be back at it on Moneyline once again on Monday. See ya.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.